I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello, everybody. We're here. It's a Monday. It's 8 past 12. Chad Hartman, Chris Tubbs is in. Dave is out all week, and Adam is sticking around because all three of us were at Target Field last night, at least for parts of it. Tubbsy, Carter, and I were together, so I know when we arrive.
Mm-hmm.
It was a long event.
Yes.
And I love the Foo Fighters. I know Carter loves the Foo Fighters. I believe you love the Foo Fighters.
Bucket list for me.
Okay.
Last night.
That was number one, correct for you?
Number one.
And from the picture I saw, looked like you had nice seats, my friend.
Yeah, yeah. I have to do a payment plan, but I did indeed. Yeah, well, it's funny because my buddy's like, hey, I got tickets to Foo Fighters when they first went on sale. I'm like, okay, fine. I didn't even think about where they were at. And then I'm like, okay, well, where are they? He's like, oh, they're section F1. Like row 14. I'm like, okay.
That's good.
And then I'm like, we kept going. I'm like, it's kind of like when you're on like the Price is Right and you got the low, you know, the yodeling person that keeps going up.
Well, Adam, right, yeah. Adam just demonstrated his goat skills earlier. You want to give us a little yodeling?
What's your...
Going back to the goat or? No, yodeling.
Oh, yodeling?
Yeah, you listening to him at all, or are you just...
No, you said my goat skills.
Well, I mentioned goat skills,
yodeling?
And then, yeah. You're looking at these two...
That's the best Price is Right game.
It is good.
But yeah, I went up, and then it's like, okay, got there, and I'm like, okay, this is all right.
Similar to Adam in bed. Boom!
But no, it was phenomenal. I started fangirling out. When I looked at my wife, I saw Dave Grohl take the stage, and I looked around it. I'm like, oh my God, it's him! It's him!
Okay, were you at the event last night at Target Field? What are your thoughts? And we've done it before. We'll do it again. It's great. Most memorable concert of your life. Okay, were you at Target Field last night? What did you think? And what is the most memorable concert of your life? It's the stylesfinancial.com talk and text lines, 651-461-9226. Two quick comments, by the way, listening to the Adam and Jordana show. First of all, the fact you didn't know that there were like 800 wing stops in town. I was like, I was going to say.
The guy who loves wings.
I mean, I'm starting to think of other stores where there's like 800. How about Super America? Do we have any Super Americas?
We don't have any of those here.
And then, Jordana, we're going to get to Jack Farrell here because you give a nice tribute. So does Susie. And Jordana goes, you know, often Haskell sends like a case of wine and we just get to take some home.
When did that happen?
Where am I? I've been here 15 years. I don't remember one single time when there was just a case of great wine and somebody said, just go ahead and take some. Okay, so we pregame at O'Donovan's. You were ahead of me by 30 hour?
Oh, no, probably 20 minutes.
Okay. We're with the owner of O'Donovan's, Dermot Cowley, and my great friend Kevin Luckin, who's a great human being, great golf instructor, too. And so we pregame there. We ran into some friends. And, man, we went through the masses. We baton death march going through.
Oh.
It's about the only time I've attended anything at Target Field where the concourses weren't wide enough.
Yeah.
We did not see Chrissy and the Pretenders. Okay. We should have, could have. I'm sure they were great. I have no doubt about it. Okay. But la-di-da, we were at the club level, and we should have went up the first escalator, but we entered,
the gauntlet.
I think it's gate 34, we entered the puck one,
yeah.
And we needed to enter, I don't know, is that the Herbeck one over there? I don't know, is that
Herbeck wouldn't have made it, the one with the train.
Yeah, the Gnocchi one,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, going through this, there was a woman, Chris, who had a face mask on ice cream, and it looked like she was having a panic attack.
Yeah.
Right? Expand. It just, she looked like she was really struggling.
Yeah, she, there was just so many people because we were there, and then the rain started falling, so everybody who was in their seats said, well, let's run go up the concourse.
Yeah.
And it just totally shut down.
Yeah.
And then there's people, like, you think of those workers who are trying to come through with carts full of, you know, water and stuff. But, yeah, that woman, she clearly was not having a good time.
It was ominous. And, again, I'm not blaming I'm going to ode to Target Field again. It's just all of a sudden you have 40,000 people in the concourse.
Yes.
Right? Because I don't – outside of if you were on the floor, it was pouring. It was in between shows. Yeah. Well, why would you just – you know, why not? So we get to our seats, closed circuit. If you – and it's been open for 15 years. So this really is a much closer. But don't go down the first baseline. Just go down to the third baseline. Because when you have the stage there and you have the view of the skyline, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah.
It is so good. And again, first baseline, you got that new giant. How many stories? Are those condos or apartments?
Condos, I think.
Are they?
Yeah. It's got to be, what, a 30-story building?
Do we know what the rent is there? Because I was talking with my wife.
$50 a month. Yeah. It's really inexpensive. No, it's got to be.
I couldn't even afford that.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just such a better view.
You get the concert for free. Oh, yeah. See, I'm a Skyline mark. Like, I love it. Like, when you're there and you get to see, like, that's one of the best things, like, I enjoy about traveling. When you go and you're like, oh, you get so many of these different skylines.
Yeah, it
great.
It was fantastic. I took a cool picture of the stage. I think it added that you had the clouds. You know, again, would any of the three of us been disappointed if it was sunny? But it was a bit mystic, you know, with the clouds in and out. And Grohl is phenomenal. He just is. You know, it's 90% him talking and singing. Obviously, there's a long, long list of great front men and front women in the history of rock and roll to both of you guys. But a lot of times, there's some interaction. You know, like if you see Bruce, like there's a little bit of Stevie, and there used to be a lot of Clarence, and now his wife. And you go to Bono. Bono's going to work in Edge and stuff. It's Grohl, 90%. And his ability, first of all, the voice on him has slipped zero.
Yeah.
And putting it through that, he puts it through, that's astonishing.
It is as powerful as it can be, as hard rocking of rock and roll as you want right there. But then when he does acoustic stuff, it's every bit as good.
Mm-hmm.
It is every
the range of ability
what we
for
call
Gabriel.
Range.
Yes.
The range.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's having fun. That's to me.
Yes.
Like when I go to a show, I want to be entertained. I want somebody who wants to be there. And I felt like it was one of those can't miss because he's just as been as entertaining as I would have hoped he was.
Great.
And engaging.
I agree 100%. And I'm not saying every line last night hasn't been uttered before.
Yeah.
But I do think he reacts to the new setting. I think just seeing him in so many interviews and other creative things he has done, like all this, you know, his references to Husker Du and Paul Westerberg.
First Ave.
First Ave. By the way, apparently 40,000 people were at First Ave when they were there 30 years ago. It was just magnificent. Now, sadly for me, I've battled migraines off and on for, I don't know, since I was a teen. And I thought I was done with these things, and they've come back. And I'm there having a great time. And we had looked enough of the set list where my move oftentimes, Tubbs, and Adam's been a part of many concerts with me, is if it's the last song, I don't want to leave the building, but I want to kind of near the exit. Yeah. So I can hear it.
As soon as it's done, you're gone.
Oh, I'm trying to think of modern. See, this is where I'm not up to the Olympics right now. I need the current 100-meter dash guy, and that would be me. So I knew Everlong was going to be the last song from the set list. It's one of my 10 favorite songs.
I know.
You know, and all of a sudden, when I get a migraine, what I get is I get an ocular preview where all of a sudden my peripheral vision starts to narrow. And it gets very blurry. And Adam was to my right. And at one point, I mean, you were right next to me. I could not see. It's just flashing.
Do you get them a lot? I mean, is that common?
I used to get them weekly. Then I went 4 or 5 years. No, and I've had 4 or 5 now this summer, and I'm not pleased. I'm saddened by it. So I sat there, didn't say anything to you for about 5 minutes, and thought, please, this is just going to stop. And it wouldn't go away. So I told you, I'm having a migraine. I have to go. So I went to my car, and then I sat there for about another 10 minutes because I didn't think I could drive yet. And I was not going to take a chance. Not drinking.
Yeah.
We had, I don't know, 3 beers, whatever we had. But I was not going to put anybody in jeopardy myself. And so finally, the vision is totally fine, and I can feel the headache coming on. And for me, I get very varying migraines. I thought, if I don't get far enough, I'm going to stop at Kathleen's because Kathleen lives much closer to me. I'm just going to sleep there. And it was just a bad one that has lingered even to now. It wasn't – sometimes I get these ones where it's incapacitating, fetal position, vomiting. It wasn't that. This one just lasted for a while. So as much as I love the night, that's a part of it.
Yeah.
Which just stinks. Now, you – did you stay until the end? I don't know.
No. I stayed. I was holding it out and like – encore comes. I'm like, all right. And then, but like in my mind, I cannot turn my mind off. Like I have to drive 40 minutes home.
Yep.
And it's
so that close to Everlong.
Sunday night. So they start with the first song, The Teacher, I think.
Yep.
And it goes on and on and on. And finally, I was just like, I was going to do your move. Like, okay, I'm just going to walk. I'm going to stand at the door.
Yeah.
And hear it. I got down to the door, the front gates, and they're still playing that song. I was just like, and a lot of people were doing the same move, so I'm just like,
what? They're not allowed to do that.
That's your move. That's my move. Everybody go back to your seat. So I started walking, and I'm thinking, okay, I mean, you could hear it a couple blocks away.
You stop short during encores, don't you?
I do. No, that's not usually.
Not usually.
Jen's used from that closing.
I mean, if it's Saturday night, I'm staying. If Saturday night, I'm staying. But I started walking.
Your commitment to work. That's what it was.
Absolutely.
Look at you being a company guy.
So I got in my car, and I Put on Everlong. I'm there in spirit.
Yeah. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
All right, let's pause here. Paul Kuzelka, the former Senate Majority Leader, is on at the bottom of the hour. Will this state turn red? What does he think about Trump and Harris? Now, what does he think about Tim Walz, who's getting more and more talk as the vice president nominee for the vice president now, Kamala Harris? But were you at the Foo Fighters last night? What did you think? And then a spinoff on that, what is the most memorable? Maybe it's the greatest, but maybe something quirky happened. The most memorable concert of your life. If you want to share with a call, you can. Certainly if you want to elaborate. Or if a text is easier. Either way, 651-461-9226 on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 24 past 12. Carter hanging around just because we were at Foo Fighters last night. So was Tubbsy. What do you want to say? Excellent choice, too. What do you want to say about the show and your thoughts?
Show was good. It dragged a little, I thought, in the third quarter. Like, you know, and I'm not the biggest Foo Fighter fan. I mean, I like Foo Fighters a lot, but like, you know, like.
The two of us have now watched Foo Fighters, I was going to say 34 times, yeah. And you're not the biggest fan. Yeah.
I'm not like super glued to their whole catalog.
I'm not either. You know, so with that, I bet I know, 12, 15. Maybe it makes it a little bit better. I just appreciate, you guys both said it, the range.
Yeah.
And I find him just engaging. Okay, Chris, you
He's
first.
He's a rock star, man. You want to see a rock star.
He's a front man. You know, can't you cannot be a brilliant all-time rock band unless your front man is a badass.
Yeah.
You just can't.
I thought he was going to come back for like one of his encore, part of the encore. Like I was just expecting like him to come back and he'd be on the drum kit. I was just
he's done that before.
I was waiting for something like that, and I mean, I would have been like, you know, I would have been like a teenager at a Taylor Swift concert if that would have happened.
All right, let's go quick. One or two, Chris, most memorable concert of your life, or was it maybe last night?
I would have to say still it was Elton John and Billy Joel at the X, probably in 2000 and maybe about 2008, because Piano Man, Rocket Man, they were playing their own.
I was there.
And then halfway through they switched, and you're like, how did that happen?
Yeah,
and you're
great.
Like, yeah, that was – Billy Joel and the Foo Fighters, two of my favorite bands, and they could not be like diametrically opposed.
Yep.
You Two in the Rain.
Yep.
And then TCF Bank Stadium. That's one. Those Sphere concerts is pretty good, too.
Yeah. You Two for sure. I saw The Who. I've told you this story before. Summer of 1989. We drove over. I was broadcasting the Orlando Twins. We had an off day. Drive over to Tampa. We're late. Let's say some hijinks on the way. We don't think we're going to get tickets. Also, this guy's walking and gives us $5 on the field at the big sombrero. And we walked our way up. I'm telling you, we were 20 yards from Roger Pete in their prime.
And getting hit with his microphone when he's
it was going overhead. And then seeing Prince at Dakota, it was the fourth night. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing. Okay. Chuck has called in from Brooklyn Park. Chuck, you're on WCC Radio.
Hi, I saw in 1973, when I was 21 years old, I saw Elton John at the old Met Sports Center, and it was a fantastic show. But I got to say one thing, the air around there was absolutely filled with marijuana smoke.
No, at a concert, Chuck? Come on.
Yeah.
Hello.
And of course, at the end of the concert, when he was done, everyone held up their cigarette lighters.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. We're done with that now. Now we got our phones.
Yep.
Let's go through a bunch of texts here. Paul McCartney at Target Field. We were there.
Yep.
Francis, you were kind of there.
Kind of there.
Tina Turner, private dancer tour. You were...
I was part of one of her private dancers.
You were. But in the McCartney, honestly, put somebody in a drink of yours.
I thought so, yeah.
You were not yourself. Texture. Prince on his 1985 Purple Rain tour. Whoa. Saw Dylan in the 90s. Let's see. I was at a Lionel Richie concert. I was 8 months pregnant. Naturally, I'd use the bathroom, but lined up for both men and women. Do you want to see a modern-day version of Moses part of the Red Sea? Walk up to the bathroom door, hold your 8 months pregnant, and everything opened up. That's good. Lumberjack Days. Leonard Skinner. Was Leonard Skinner really? I mean, that'd be
great. I saw Leonard Skinner at Country Jam in Eau Claire, too, obviously. Wasn't.
Who was left?
Not many of them.
Was it Fred Skinner?
Pretty sure they pulled the plug to him or, like, air, like, not only lip-syncing, but faking the music, too.
Jeez. This person saw Coldplay in Phoenix 3 years ago. They're amazing. I know a lot of people love Coldplay. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm just okay on them. You Two in the Rain, like... previous texter, Pearl Jam 20th Alpine Valley both nights. I have no excuse. I love Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them once. I absolutely no excuse. Last night was amazing. Grohl is a rock star god. He is. I probably don't remember the most memorable concert because it was Fish. let's see. Pink Floyd, Camp Randall Stadium in a downpour.
That's one I'd love to see. I mean, I've seen Roger Waters, but David Gilmour.
Like last night's rain, when we first walked in, it was raining pretty good. But you two, it was raining.
I mean,
about as
deluge,
hard.
I mean, yes.
Excellent word, deluge. There was lightning in the distance.
Yeah. Fireworks going off.
He's playing Singing in the Rain.
Yeah.
And the two of us is next to each other, by the way, we look in that picture about 40 years younger. We're like, this is a movie, right?
Yeah.
This isn't – it just worked out. So, and it had been delayed a year because he had his, bike accident.
Yeah, he had a bike accident.
Right?
Doesn't something in the rain when you've got something? I mean, it just adds to the allure too, doesn't it?
Like, yeah, because you're just like, you know what? Screw it. It's
yeah,
like, well, you're not going to go anywhere. It's like you're once you get wet, you're wet.
You just embrace it.
Queen, 1982 Civic Center, Billy Squire Open. Yeah, does he just go stroke Billy me, stroke Squire. Me? I mean, the whole time. I mean, I was there. Awesome show. Joel obviously loves what he does, and it shows. Yep. Also, Chrissy Hynde is still freaking cool. Great concert. Love when Violet took the stage. Amazing. I just wish I could have heard her a little bit better. Yeah. This is his daughter, and the dynamic was fantastic. I wanted more. Zach Brown, Lollapalooza. I'm reading all your text here. Johnny Holm, red carpet, St. Cloud.
Yeah, baby.
Johnny Cash, Medina. Oh, that'd be pretty good. Taylor Swift, sure. Tina Turner, Joe Cocker as the opener. The Who, 1980, I believe.
I'm going to say, you haven't lived till you've seen Johnny Holm at the Showboat in Lake Benton, though.
There we go. All sorts of good stuff. All right, what's our next show? Where are we going next?
Well, I'm going over in September to see Dylan, hopefully Willie's. Willie's had to cancel a lot of his appearances at those Outlaw show, but it's Willie Nelson, Bob
Wisconsin,
Dylan.
Right?
Yep. My buddy, I'm going to see John Cougar Mellencamp.
I can't believe.
Anybody want to go see Blink 182 with me next week?
No.
No.
Not okay. I cannot believe you're going to Johnny Cougar.
You know what? I'm probably going to love him. That's the thing.
That'd be good. Well, I even had a couple fries last night with ketchup. So you knew I was in a you knew I was in a weakened state. I was off, you know.
Maybe that's what caused the migraine.
Might have. That's a very good point. I tried ketchup again. Blech. What was I thinking? Thank you, sir. Adam, back with Jordana tomorrow. Paul Gazelka. Still very prominent, former Senate Majority Leader. Will this state turn red with Donald Trump and J.D. Vance just in town at the Herb Brooks Center? Mr. Gazelka is minutes away. All right, let's jump into it. Paul Gazelka on this show a number of times when he was a member of the Senate, including the Majority Leader from 2017 to 2021. He also ran to be the governor. Pursuing the nomination with the Republican Party, which eventually went to Scott Jensen. Paul and I sometimes respond to each other on Twitter, and Paul is still very vocal and still is a strong supporter of the Republican Party, so thought it'd be a good time to reach out to him. Paul is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline, like all of our guests. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate the time. So Donald Trump and J.D. Vance in town, they draw a huge crowd, as Donald Trump does. But we're having the conversation again in this state. Will this state actually turn red for a presidential candidate? We all know it has not happened since 1972. We all know the change where Joe Biden is out. Kamala Harris is in. There is a new polling data, and this was a huge issue for Joe Biden, on Democrats and enthusiasm. And it's a honeymoon period for Harris. Who knows if this is going to last? But the enthusiasm among Democrats for Joe Biden was at 62%. For Kamala Harris, it's 88%. And we know it's high for Donald Trump. You can love him, you can hate him, but Republicans are absolutely behind him. So knowing that Democrats have won this state for, you know, 50-some years, why do you think this is going to be different for Donald Trump in the state this year?
You know, I think it's an outside shot. When it was Biden, I would have said, I think Trump's going to win it. With Harris, you know, you did say it's a honeymoon phase. You know, when they find out that she wanted to defund the police or some of the things that she's done or lack of doing on the border, it might be a factor. But this is a tough state for Republicans. You know, really the only ones that have been winning lately was the Senate Republicans. And that is not even the case anymore. So, we'll see, but I think the fact that he decided to do a large rally here means that it's at least in play. You know, there are other places they won't even bother to go. Minnesota, they showed up and had a big crowd.
Tim Pawlenty, who you know well, is a frequent guest on this show. And Tim Pawlenty, the former governor, is the last Republican to win a statewide race. Clearly, members of the Senate and House have won their districts before. But Tim Pawlenty often, Paul, says that Republicans in this state can't keep doing the same thing, that they need to change their brand. They need to change their approach. Do you think the governor is right And if so, what adjustments should Republicans make in this state?
Well, I think he's 100% right. And we get together a few times a year and talk shop and talk what used to be. You know, when I ran for governor, it was speaking to what I thought where people wanted to govern, which was to the right of middle. But we have a system right now that rewards extremes on both sides, far right and far left, and that's the caucus system. You have, I think, 7 or 8 states that still do that. And in the end, I don't think you get the right candidates. And so for both parties, I think that would be the best direction to go, is get rid of the caucus system. But as far as Republicans, you can see, if you read at all, Trump's GOP platform, he's the one that endorsed it. They have modified some of their positions, and he typically does what he said he's going to do.
On the platform, I agree with you. And I thought in Milwaukee, until his speech, the Republicans were having a very good convention. I really did. And if he would have stayed on the prompter, I think it would have been a success. You know, he talked heartfelt, genuinely, about someone trying to murder, right? And I also still think it's absolutely stunning the lack of information we have on that. Way more information should be out by now. But as you know, even though you're going to vote for him, he goes off the prompter and it keeps going back to the election was stolen. And a lot of things, Paul, that appeal to his base, but he has that base. And I'm not expecting Donald Trump at 78 to completely change. But how confident are you that Donald Trump, in trying to appeal to some of those folks, are going to say, you know, Harris is too far left for me? How confident are you that Trump can be consistent and appeal to the moderates? Because I'm skeptical it's going to happen.
You know, I think they have to look back at his last 4 years and that he was president, and what did he do? And I think if it comes down to policies rather than personality, I think he wins. I'm not so sure he wins in Minnesota, but there's only 6 to 8 states that it's really going to matter. And the border is a mess. Anybody that doesn't think it's a mess, I think it's just trying to look the other way. And it will depend on what the issues are, but you know, you're correct. He's 78. Plenty of people have given him advice about doing things a little different, and he is who he is. He is a forceful leader. And in a crisis, you know, I think that would really, really matter. The thing that really stood out to me, and when I actually started engaging at a stronger level, was the attempted assassination. I mean, when he rose up again, defiant against those that would try to take him out, it inspired me. Honestly, that's what I want in a leader. In the midst of the biggest fear of your life, how are you going to behave? How are you going to act? And so we'll see. I mean, it's a crazy election period, that's for sure.
Okay, let's talk about Donald Trump and the state of Minnesota and what happened in 2020. Let me give you my thoughts, and you tell me if you agree or not. George Floyd is killed by Derek Chauvin, eventually found guilty of murder. In the first few days, Jacob Frey and Tim Walz were inept. They weren't visible enough. There was not the support. And Jacob Frey, the mayor of Minneapolis, made a very foolish decision trying to pull officers away from the precinct, and just a horrifying event when the precinct was burned down. On Wednesday, Jacob Frey reaches out to Tim Walz. Madaria Iredondo reaches out to John Harrington, basically saying, we need the guard. We're getting overwhelmed. And Tim Walz did not respond and did not have the guard for multiple days. And his comeback was, you can't just take 19 and 20-year-olds and put them there without training. I disagree. I've made this point very clear. I thought Frey and Walz were late day after day. I give Frey actually more credit for saying on Wednesday, we can't do it. And I think Walz was derelict. However, when Donald Trump, who was tweeting about it, who was reacting to it, and you talked to him, when Donald Trump takes credit for sending the National Guard, that isn't correct. That, yes, I believe Tim Walz should have sent the Guard 2 days earlier, but then the governor has that final say. So Trump can say, I pushed him, he should have done it sooner, but he can't say he's the reason why he had the final sign-off to send the National Guard when Minneapolis was melting down right in front of our eyes.
Yeah, I mean, it was honestly one of the most terrible times for Minnesota, and Governor Walz froze. I mean, for Mayor Frey, he was a deer in the headlights. I mean, he just wasn't ready for it. But Walz was the commander in chief, and you know, just a couple of backgrounds on that. On the night Thursday night, that was like 3 days, 4 days after the death of George Floyd, all of the folks were staging in the basement of the Capitol, and I went down there and just thanked them all because I thought we were literally going to take the streets back then. And I found out later the Walz never went down there. And it's like, you know, you're the leader in a crisis, and you have to respond. And you said a 19-year-old, you said 19-year-old cooks calling the National Guard. I mean, it was just like, what are you doing? And then he blamed Mayor Frey, and really all of it rests on Tim Walz. And that's, so as far as the president, you know, he pressured him. I believe that. I pressured Walz. I was, Thursday, Friday, I was very, very upset. I went on Care 11 TV on Friday, and you know, but it was a fiasco. Trump trying to stay in the Federal National Guard, I don't know what his ability is or responsibility on that level. I do know that Walz froze.
I think he was too late. I agree. I think Chris is just, I just think people have to be honest and say that Donald Trump did not send it in. Okay. Again, reminding folks that Senate Majority Leader Paul Gutzelk is with us, the former Majority Leader. Okay, listen, there are a lot of people who are in the know who say that Tim Walz is receiving serious consideration to be Kamala Harris's vice presidential nominee, and they want that to happen. You don't agree with that, okay? And you want Donald Trump to win. So let's exclude Minnesota because Walz on the ballot probably does help. I mean, he's won his two elections here decisively. Now people get to react to Tim Walz after what they did with the trifecta and spending almost all the money. So that, I think, to independents is at minimum slightly a negative. I thought it was spending way too much of the money myself. But if Kamala Harris picks Tim Walz as the VP, do you think that helps her at all or notably across the country in those swing states that you mentioned earlier?
I think that Walz can help Harris. They're both passionate liberals, but he is good at communicating what he believes and spinning the direction he thinks it should go. And you know, I don't want them to win. Let's just be, you know, very, very upfront about that. But he does know how to communicate, and that's a positive thing. So, you know, it's a Midwest person. She's, you know, San Francisco liberal. Does he draw some of the Midwest? Maybe. I think he's down to the top three. I would have said I thought it would be the guy from Arizona, the senator, but with his most recent thing about working with the Chinese to get high-altitude balloons, I mean, you can tie that into the story of the Chinese balloons going over America, and that might tip him out, and that may mean that Walz is in. So, you know, we're going to see. I mean, I'll have a lot more to say. Yeah, if he is picked as the VP candidate, because I just think people should know some of his weaknesses as well.
Last thing, if you would have had your choice among the Republicans, and Donald Trump was the nominee in 16, he was the nominee in 20, again, personally, I don't think there's any doubt. I think the evidence is overwhelming that while he's very disappointed by it, he has a right to be, he lost the election. I mean, the courts have said that. Would you have rather had another nominee than Donald Trump for your party and just started moving forward?
You know, the first time around, I did not support President Trump. And when I rode in the car with him, I even told him that. And, you know, this time around, I would have picked somebody else, younger. But at the same time, I acknowledge that he is a formidable force. And in the world today, with China and Russia wanting more and more power, I want somebody that's a formidable force. I want them to know that we mean business. And so as much as he was not my candidate, I am all in. And it really solidified for me after the assassination attempt. It was like, I've had enough of this. And, you know, we should be defending every president and every former president. So I'm not, you know, I want Biden protected as well. But when that happened to Trump and how he responded immediately after was very, very inspirational.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the time. We'll reach out again.
And by the way, Marshall Tucker Band was my favorite concert.
Okay. Marshall, where was it at?
Somewhere in the Twin Cities. I was probably only like 20 years old. I think it was Marshall Tucker Band and Black Sabbath or somebody.
Nice.
It was just, that's when my hearing aids, that's when I started my future hearing aid problem.
Yes, I know that feeling, sir. I'm headed that way. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Take care.
The former Senate Majority Leader, Paul Gazelka, somebody's saying, this is a partisan guess. No kidding. I mean, he's a Republican. He's allowed to believe in his party's principles, and you're allowed to disagree. That's part of it. We try to have people on who are representative of all sides. If you just want all left, you want all right, you got other shows as an option. This isn't one of them. Among the texts to us, the governor should be disqualified for VP for his lack of leadership during the riots. If Tim Walz is selected, that will be a huge part of it. That absolutely will be a huge part of the conversation. He's gaining more traction than I ever thought he would. Texter, Gazelka supporting Trump, says all you need to know about Paul. This is a texter who texts us often, who is a lefty, allowed to feel that way. Also told me that Joe Biden was totally fine every time I said Joe Biden wasn't up to the job. I'm not expecting Paul Gazelka, a former Senate Majority Leader who admitted he didn't support Donald Trump in 16, to come out and say, you know, Ilhan Omar and I, we're just locked in sync. We're trying to give you different perspectives on the show. That's part of the approach we do. I'm not faulting in any way the folks who are all left or all right. I would just encourage you to get info from all sorts of places. Get off just your only echo chamber. Consume Fox, consume CNN, consume other outlets, and find places where you think the news is legit and still have your opinion and have bold thoughts. It's time for us to stop talking. That's the Linda's Time Check. It's time for you to replace your old windows with Infinity from Marvin Windows and get 75% off installation labor.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.